All right, is it good? I think we're on. I think I can hear myself back there already. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17. We're going to start out there in Jeremiah, chapter number 17. When you find the place, if you're able to stand, then do so while we look there in a passage or two. In verse number 27 is a text verse that we've got. Now, if you will not hearken unto me and hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even enter into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Now, Father, we ask in blessings upon the reading of the word, and we praise you and we thank you, thou art God, besides thee there is none else. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on when the fire is kindled. When the fire is kindled. Now, God had been warning all of Israel about the Sabbath day and about keeping it holy and about what they could do and couldn't do and how that they ought to hallow the Sabbath day and that they ought to remember, that they ought to acknowledge the Lord and so forth and on. Yet Israel let that go in one ear and right out the other. And like the average Baptist, you know, they hear preaching all of their life and it goes to going in one ear and right out the other. Nothing in there, it's nothing called the brain that stops it. As we begin to look into that, you'll find out is that we ought to remember that it's not just remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It's not just Sunday morning. A lot of folks feel like they've done God a favor to show up on a Sunday morning, sometime two or three times a year. And I've seen people, you know, hey, when's the last time you went to church? Well, Christmas and Easter. Christmas and Easter. You remember what it was all about? Yeah, one of them was an egg hunt and the other one we got presents. I got to say to you that, if you will, that being a child of God and looking at what God said is a whole lot more than any of that. And by the way, that when you begin to look into it, you're going to find out is that the house of God, as the Bible said over there in the book of Leviticus, is the gate to heaven. Now, I will tell you, you can't go to heaven by going to church, but I guarantee you, if you went to church and God got a hold of you, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. And you show me somebody heaven bad, I'll show you somebody that's involved in the work of the local church. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, did you ever consider what a privilege that it is to be in the house of God? I mean, it's a time that you can come together, not only worship God, but worship God in unison with other brothers and sisters. It's a time to be able to visit and to be able to worship with your family. It's a time to be able to get to the place to where that you can refuel, if you will, and get ready to face the upcoming week. That's why we're here on the first day of the week and why that God changed it to that. I want to say it's a time of inspiration. It's a time of instruction, if you will, please. Now, you know, you're not going to know how to look right, walk right, talk right, act right, or spit right if you don't hear something from the Word of the Lord. Everybody's got an opinion. They're sort of like armpits. Everybody's got a couple of them, and generally one of them or both of them will go to smelling after a while, you know. I've known people down through the years, you know, that you didn't have to get to them to smell them. You could see it boiling off of them. Now, we don't have anybody like that now, but I've seen that in days gone by, and I'm talking about, buddy, you talk about make a buzzard puke. And it just absolutely is just awful. Well, is that sometimes you can help people like that, and sometimes you can't. But nonetheless, we ought to be in the house of God. We ought to be able to learn something. When you come to the church of the living God, it's what Jesus established. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said that whenever you begin to look into this chapter that's here, whom the Lord saved, he added to the church daily such as should be saved. When God saved you, he put you in the house of God. That's just the way that it is. And let me tell you something, not only is it a divine touch, you find there's a dedication goes on, there's a doctrine of the Lord, a doctrine of Christ that you and I ought to be able to look at. Did you notice that sometimes people are going to tell you that when you ask them, where you go to church? Well, I'm just a member of all churches. No, you're not. The Bible teaches that church is a local assembly. It's got a real pastor. And you'll find out that as a result, it's indigenous, dependent upon nobody except the Lord, tithes and offerings. Listen, next time you go by and there's a church having a bake sale or having some kind of a rummage sale, that ain't the way God chose to be able to support his business. God chose tithes and offerings to be able to take care of the church of the living God. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find is that as a result, we're living in a world that somehow or another, they go through the means of pretense to be able to try to get done. In other words, they're trying to set up something that will bait you in. Trying to set up, look over, and you don't have to lose your text, by the way, but before you do turn from it, over in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. In other words, you better be careful about what it is got you influenced. You know, whenever we start out here and we get down here to the house of God, I look around and you're my kind of people. I appreciate the fact that you love God, love the Bible, love that which is good, right, moral, and decent. But let me say to you that if you will, there ought not to be any other reason or purpose besides worship. But see, the church house has become a playhouse in the day and hour that we're living in. The church house has become a fashion studio across the country in the day and hour that we're living in. I want to say to you, why do you think that God has given us so many instructions? How to look right, walk right, talk right, spit right? See? When you begin to look into this Bible lesson here, the Bible said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth forth her roots by the river, so forth and on. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you, over there in the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 2, it's about verse number 15. In 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll give you a moment to be able to find that while I'm looking for it myself, and here it is right there. 2 Peter chapter number 2, looking about verse number 15. The Bible said, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, when you begin to look there in that Bible lesson there, here's what ends up happening, is that you'll find out is that there are those that love the wages of unrighteousness. They don't care how they get it, long as they can get it. They want to make you feel good about yourself like you are, so they can get in your pocketbook. And there's a lot of people in the world that are like that. As long as you don't get on the wrong side of them and all that business there, there's a lot of people that absolutely just somehow or another, they have failed to see that there's a lot of Baalites and Balaamites and people like that that are in the world and that are doing what they can to slip up on your blind side. You know, I've never even heard of anything like this in my life. Until the last 7, 8, 10 years. And that are preachers, whether they're called missionaries or whether they're evangelists or whether whatever they are. And they're trying to somehow or another deal with older women and get their money given on an automatic bank draft. There's a lot of that goes on. I don't guess you knew that, did you? I want to say to you that if you will, please, whatever happened to be somebody giving from their heart and out of what they possess and not beyond their means, but whatever happened to giving the biblical manner and the biblical way that it is? Well, I can tell you what happened to it is that there's a lot of times that people, you know, they'll support 1 month and then they skip a month, support two and skip five. And as a result of that, preachers are not getting their money. Well, that's not living by faith whenever you've got a sure thing. I'm going to get them on a bank draft. If I get them on a bank draft, that money's going to come rolling in, whether they forget to write it out or not. My poor old mama, she's in heaven, as you well know. And I can remember when I walked in and I saw Christopher Reeves, and he one of them guys that played the Superman. And had him and had his wife, you know, and he got crippled and went over a horse, the head of a horse hit and done something, damaged him, and oh, he was crippled. Well, there was. I want to say that it was an 8x10. Does that sound right, hon? About an 8x10 picture. It had Christopher Reeve and his wife. I said, Mama, where in the world did you get that picture from? Oh, they sent it to me. Said it was his birthday or something. I said, no, they didn't send that to you unless you gave them some money. Well, I hadn't seen none of them or anything. Did you mail them some money? And that? Well, they put an envelope in there and all that, and I sent a little dab in that. I see. And so no wonder, no wonder. Now, Christopher Reeve, if he don't get saved between here and there, he may already be dead and gone. But he's died and went straight to hell, no doubt about that. That's people, you know, that are trying to slip in and lead ladies and men that are wanting to do good in their heart and trying to lead them captive and so forth and on. But that's not enough of that, enough of that fun time that we've had and all of that. Bible said over there in the book of our text that blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Now, I want to say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to realize in 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 1 through 3, the Bible said, but these were false prophets, and among them people, there were false teachers among who you privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon them swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, and by the reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, and whose judgment of now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now I want you to watch this, and I want you to notice that whenever you begin to look there in that passage that's there, is that there's a lot of people that are using feigned words, that are trying to butter you up, that are preaching damnable heresies, that are trying to appeal to your intellect in some manner that'll please you so they can get more out of you. I got to say to you that when you begin to look in this lesson that's here, there's a passage there. Where is it? 1 Peter. I believe it's in chapter number 1 in the book of 1 Peter. You can back up there, and we'll begin to look there in that chapter that's there. And as a result of that, no, it's in 2 Peter chapter 1. Here we go, all right? Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll give you a moment to find that. Here we go, verse 15. Moreover, I endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. In other words, one of these days I'm going to die. That's what Simon Peter hears from telling. One of these days I'm not going to be around. Who's going to tell it then? You better let some of this sink down in your heart. Ask God to help you remember it. Ask God to help you put it into operation. Because he said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was talking to a man one time. He said, oh man, for Halloween, we call it a fall festival in that. But he said, you know, there's a lot of people come. Some people don't agree with it. I said, well, I never have believed in having a Halloween carnival. Oh, no, it's not that. It's a fall festival. Change the name if the game's the same. It don't matter. And I said, well, yeah, but you don't understand. Here's how many tracks we put in those little sacks and all that right there. We were able to reach a lot of people that we normally could not have reached. I said, the thing about it is, God said over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, we've not followed that route or that route. Right. Now, you talk about, buddy, you want to talk about getting the Baptist preacher to go to talking like he's Sparky Pig. That's all, folks. You get them to doing that. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out the Bible warned about these pernicious ways. That means feigned words. Words they're using, they don't really mean. They make merchandise of you. You're nothing more than a chance for them to be able to make more money. Something's wrong with that kind of thinking among the Baptists. You know, Balaam was a man that loved the wages of unrighteousness. He's ready to sell out the people of God for money. We live in a world that's like that. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find that God is not only looking at your ear, but God is looking at how much you're listening, and he's listening to how much you're looking. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and realize and know. And sometimes we fail to remember just the kind of people that we are. There's a passage over there. It's in the book of Proverbs. And as we look over there in the book of Proverbs, if I can find the place that if I can, there's a passage over there that talked about how that we ought to be careful and be on our guard and so forth and all in all. is because that we want to make sure that we're not dressing like as a young lady or a young man wearing the attire of a harlot. Because in the book of Proverbs in chapter 6, look at it real quickly there, chapter 6. In Proverbs in chapter number 6, and about verse number 24, the Bible said, verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and the reproof of instructions are the way of life." Now notice what it is. "To keep thee from the evil woman, and from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelid. For by the means of a whorish woman." Hey, girls, you got to not only be careful about how you dress, but how you use your eyes. I appreciate both amens. Now, let me tell you something about all you big busted women. We thank God for you and your service. But you ought to be decent about your dressing and keep them covered up. That's what God says. My statement about we thank God for your service, that's carnality. But it's a reality that you and I are looking at. And let me tell you something right now. If showing your bodily parts and wiggling your behind is the only way you can get a man, he won't be worth having. Because just as soon as he gets tired of looking at you wiggle away, he's going to find somebody else that interests him. I remember we had a young man who's in heaven right now. He used to watch women come down this aisle here, and some of them were young women, some of them were older women. And he said, "Well, what makes their butt do this when they're walking?" Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I'm talking about, we're talking about a young man that ought not to be eating that stuff like that bothering him. But you know, as a result of that, you begin to find out that the Bible teaches us that that's the means of a whorish woman. Now, you're not a whore, and we don't have any whores in here, but I can tell you right now, we don't want to adapt and adopt their ways either. There's a passage over there, if you will, please, in the book of, let's see here, where is it? 1 Timothy, let's try that and see if that's it there. In the book of 1 Timothy, when you begin to look there. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that after all these years of marriage, I've got a little snow on the rooftop, but bless God, honey, there's still fire in the furnace. Now that my wife and I, we've been married all these many years, and she's the most modest person. I said, "Well, my word, hon, that doesn't mean you have to be that modest around me." I get called some awful names for that. In the lesson that we're looking at in 1 Timothy chapter 2, let me give you that right there real quickly. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and the Bible said, we'll begin with verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." All right? Verse 8, "I will therefore every man pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath, without and doubting." In other words, when you and I look at the word of the Lord, I mean, you are men that ought to be praying. Therefore, men ought to be able to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath, without doubting. That means whenever you've studied the word of the Lord and you've heard the preaching of the word of the Lord and you're praying and talking to the Lord, you ought to be thanking God for his goodness, holiness, and mercy, and grace, and faith. And not having to add in and that woman's legs and those bosoms I just saw. See? Shamefacedness and sobriety means is that, gals, when you walk out, you don't want to look like that you dressed while you were drunk. That's what it's talking about. Can I drop this in on some of you men that like to wear them little tight, little butt hugger, them little crotch hugger shorts and stuff that you like to wear? Now, it doesn't bother me none. It just makes you look tacky and look cheap. But there's something queer out there that's probably lusting after you. So if you don't want to listen right and look right and walk right and talk right, don't expect me to help you when them queers tackle you. Can I get an amen out of the front row? Amen. That's what I felt like. In the lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you, the Bible said there, not only will I like men, but he said in like verse 9, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but with which becometh women professing godliness with good works. In other words, you ought to be able to dress, ladies, to where that you're covered up and it wouldn't cause a man to lust after you. Even if someone said, well, you know, I had a man one time was telling me, well, you know, men ought not to be looking at at these girls and stuff like that. Let me just tell you right now, is that's stupid. It doesn't say that you got to be careful. Don't just, you know, if somebody's out of line, just don't look at it and all that right there. If you're a red-blooded American man, you're going to look. If you're a red-blooded American man, you're going to find a lust. And did you know that the Bible teaches that if a person looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery in his heart? Did you know that? Did you know that's the reason why Jesus taught over there in the New Testament there that if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out, it's better for you to go into life halt and maimed than it is to have two eyes to go to hell with. If your right hand offends you, remember that? I just said all that to be able to say this because I know that every now and again that if I don't say it, is that some of you good godly ladies that have known better and done better and all of that, you'll get to where that finally you're just as crazier than an outhouse rat. And I can't tell you how many people in days gone by, I've been preaching all this stuff here since the get-go, over 50 years. I can't tell you how many people that all of a sudden just come up with something stupid. Yeah, man, I ain't never heard nothing like that before. It's because you haven't been listening for 50 years. Well, 30, 31 here. I've lost a lot of members over these things. But God's still on the throne and everything's running right on time. See, I got to say to you that if you will, please, is that in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, and we'll hasten right along. I want to say to you that in verse 11, but let a woman learn in silence with all subjection. And said, but I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man. You ever notice how many Baptist churches got a woman song leader, got a woman teacher teaching men, women, and all that? Well, God said they're not to be able to do that. See? And he says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression, notwithstanding, she'll be saved in childbearing, if they continue in the faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, make no mistake about it whatsoever, is that we ought to be people of faith, and the only way you can be people of faith is by hearing the word of God. Not only that, but you and I ought to be people that are fired up for the cause of Christ. And I got to tell you, I want to tell you right now, over there in our text, where was that? In Jeremiah that we started out in chapter number 17, there's a passage over there. And I want to say that it says in verse number 22, he says, now, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your father. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass that if you diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, that I will bring no burden through the gates of the city, so forth the Sabbath day and hollow up, then I'll enter in, so forth and on, and be a blessing to you. But notice, if you will, please, in verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and spread of that roots by the river, if you obey the Lord, and so forth and on. And then he says, when the heat and the drought and all that comes on, it's not going to bother you. But he said, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, God warned in this chapter this year that as a result of that, that you're going to find that people somehow or another just don't want to obey the word of the Lord. And God said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kindle a fire. And he said, I'm going to kindle a fire, verse 27 of our text. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath and not to bear the burden, even enter in the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. And it shall not be quenched. Now, I wonder if California's ever read any of that. In other words, we're living in a day and hour. We've got all the modern technology, all the chemicals, all the planes to dump water and all of that. And, buddy, let me tell you right now is a fire was kindled in California that all humanity cannot put out. Finally, God could turn on the waterworks of heaven and put it out, but he didn't. Now those homes have burned all the way up and so forth and on. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that the church of the living God, and I thank God for the church. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a church man. I may say something about the church and the laxness of the church every now and again, but I'm not one of these people on the outside shooting at the church. I'm on the inside, buddy, doing what I can to promote and preach the gospel of Christ. I want to say in closing that, if you will, that we begin to look at it. You're not going to rise above being able to exalt and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus in the church of the living God. If so be, you'll be faithful unto him and unto his word. I'll tell you what he'll do is, he'll pour out a blessing upon you that you'll not be able to receive. No two ways about it. You know, whenever I got saved, I remember God troubling my heart over and over. Some of you that are here that have given your testimony, when God was troubling you over and over again to get saved, is that whenever he gets on your trail, he won't let you go until he gets you treed for Christ. I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? But if so, you choose not to receive him, what a rude awakening you're in for. I wonder tonight, do you know him? Let's stand together, and as we get ready to dismiss and pray, and as we get ready to leave here, we want to thank God for his goodness, for his mercy, for all that he's bestowed upon us, and for the house of God, the church of the living God. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we thank you for these that have gathered here tonight. I pray you'd help every man, woman, boy, and girl to be able to seek thy face. Lord, we thank you for thy truth. The word of God is thy truth, and we thank you for it. Now, bless, I pray, every family represented here, be with those that could not be, in Jesus' name.